Good afternoon. Happy Halloween. I actually thought about dressing up a little bit, but you know, I was going to wear pig nose and some wings and say, what disease am I? Anybody can guess? Swine flu, yes. But obviously, you can see I chose not to do that. Okay, so the title of my presentation is the CDC Prevention Researchers Research Center's Contributions to Policy and Environmental Changes. Have no relationships to disclose. Okay, so first I'm just going to give an overview of the PRC program. It's a large extramural research program funded by CDC. It was authorized by Congress in 1984. We began with three prevention research centers in 1986, and now we currently fund 37 PRCs. The PRCs forms a network of academic research centers that partner with communities and public health agencies. They're mandated to conduct high-quality, innovative research, use community-based participatory approach, and implement training and technical assistance activities. They are not required to implement policy and environmental changes. Here is a map of our currently funded PRCs. As you can tell, they're all over the U.S. They're in schools of medicine and public health. We currently fund 32 comprehensive centers, and those are the traditionally funded prevention research centers. And then we now fund five developmental centers, which are funded to conduct a pilot research study and establish their community relationships and infrastructure. Okay, so this data comes from a PRC program national evaluation, which was developed in response to a 1997 Institute of Medicine report that called for increased accountability by the PRCs. It resulted in a national logic model and a list of program indicators that were formed using participatory methods to engage stakeholders. And data are collected annually through various methods. Okay. Recently, under the leadership of Tom Frieden, the CDC has released these six winnable battles. These are known areas with known effective prevention methods that have been released to really focus the efforts of public health institutions. And since then, we expect that there's been greater interest in these areas or efforts in these areas by CDC-funded institutions. In addition, Tom Frieden released the Pyramid of Factors That Affect Health. This pyramid really focuses our attention on socioeconomic factors and changing the context to make individuals' default decisions healthy. So policy and environmental changes really fall into these two areas of the pyramid. And we recognize that policy and environmental changes have the potential to shape population health, but given that entities who are funded with federal money cannot lobby with their dollars, what are they doing to facilitate or inform policy and environmental changes? So some potential roles were suggested by a study conducted by Green colleagues that examined the roles that health departments take in influencing policy and environmental change through interventions. And as you can see, there's a list of potential roles. I won't read them all for you. Okay, so given the increased importance on certain health topics as put forth by the winnable battle and policy and environmental change, as well as the fact that institutions who are federally funded may not lobby, we address the following questions. So the first one is, how many community-level policy and environmental changes occurred in 2010? We considered community-level changes to be anything in local organizations, institutions, schools, school districts, cities, towns, etc. Our second question was, what roles do PRCs play in informing or facilitating those changes? And then, which topical areas do the changes focus on? And how do these topical areas align with the CDC's winnable battles? So we interviewed 32 comprehensive PRCs They were structured telephone interviews with PRC key informants. We used a deductive coding system that examined the level of change, local, state, national, global, the type of change, whether it was policy, environmental, or both policy and environmental, the health topics, and the roles. And then reliability was computed using Cohen's Kappa. We had two raters, and then they got to get, they assessed them independently and got together and discussed where they had discrepancies. So for this study, we're only focusing on the local level changes. So our definitions for policy change and environmental change included: policy change is really a formal or informal law, regulation, or rule. And an environmental change includes changes to the physical, economic, or social environments. Okay, so 25 PRCs contributed to the 50 community level changes. 22 were policy, 12 were environmental, 16 were both policy and environmental. And on average, each PRC of the 25 contributed to two policy or environmental changes. Some contributing to up to six. Okay, so here is the breakdown of the roles, and these are not mutually exclusive, so many PRCs engaged in multiple roles to facilitate or inform a policy or environmental change. As you can see, research, education, advocacy, and partnership were really the top roles that PRCs took. Research consisted of conducting basic research or evaluation, dissemination, programmatic, or policy research that supported a change. Education and advocacy consisted of presenting or providing information or making a recommendation through either oral or written communication. Partnership consisted of convening interested parties or developing a relationship with interested parties and carrying out or developing strategies to reach a common goal. Program development included developing, disseminating, or translating a program, curriculum, or intervention. Resource provision included providing funding, workers, or space. Policy development could include things like writing or formulating legislation, policies, guidelines, regulations, or standards. And then other included things like training and technical assistance. Okay, so now I'm going to go through some examples of each of these different roles. Okay, so this PRC conducted research to implement healthier food options and ban unhealthy options at concession stands. They surveyed parents about food items they were interested in, did a follow-up survey, collected sales data, and reviewed boosters' income to make sure the change of offering healthier options at concession stands was cost-effective. In order to get a playground installed at a local school, this PRC engaged in education and advocacy. They provided a planning committee with evidence-based practices and local data to support the decision-making process for improving physical activity opportunities among school children. This center convened partnerships to implement a tobacco-free campus. A PRC partnered with a booster club to survey parents. Partnership. The PRC brought together a group of stakeholders within the Health Sciences Center to create a tobacco cessation planning committee, and this group advocated for the tobacco-free policy on campus. Okay, in this example, resources were provided by the PRC to get the mayor to endorse and launch a strategic plan to prevent teen pregnancy. The PRC provided staffing and student support for the development of the strategic plan to prevent teen pregnancy. Okay. To implement a citywide program to prevent youth violence and promote school completion, this PRC developed a youth development curriculum with community partners to increase school connectedness. And lastly, this center assisted in drafting policies and new recommendations to transition school districts from abstinence-only to evidence-based abstinence plus programs. Okay, now I'm going to move on to the health topics. As you can see, the majority of the PRC's topics of their policy and environmental changes were geared towards nutrition, obesity, and physical activity. And then the next largest was really other. And other included things like emergency preparedness, adolescent health, injury, and accessibility. And how did these changes align with the CDC winnable battles? Well, 86% of them were related to the four of the CDC's winnable battles, including obesity, nutrition, physical activity, HIV, AIDS, teen pregnancy, and tobacco. Okay, so with any study that involves collecting information about a decision maker making a change and someone doing something to push that decision maker, there's limitations in terms of when you get a one-sided perspective of the role. So the PRCs reported their roles to us, but we did not confirm with the decision makers on whether that they perceive the PRCs as having these roles in the change. And then interviews were originally conducted to collect quantitative information, so we may have missed some of the stories behind their roles in the change. It could be that, you know, that there are a lot more partnership building beforehand, before they actually did some education and advocacy. So we may have missed out on some of that. But we're doing them again this year, and so far it seems like the results are pretty consistent, and we're taking a more qualitative approach this time. Okay, so overall, the PRCs influence policy and environmental change primarily through research, education, and advocacy and or partnership, and oftentimes these are combined together. The majority of their efforts in policy and environmental change dealt with obesity, nutrition, and physical activity. It may be that communities are more responsive to uptake in this area, or it may be that the PRCs in general just focus on obesity, nutrition, and physical activity more. And then academic research centers can play a variety of roles in facilitating policy and environmental change without lobbying. We had a unique opportunity to examine broad strategies across federally funded groups and hope this information gives insight to other agencies who are federally funded who are interested in engaging in policy and environmental change and what roles that they can take to do so. And that's it. Thank you.